So it's a privilege for me to share the message of Matthew 28. So will you please turn the Bible to Matthew 28 as a church? As you know, for those who are new, ICMK as a church, we are meditating the Word of God from Matthew chapter 1. And today we are in Matthew chapter 28, which is the last chapter in this book. So I'm going to read from ESV, Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." As they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests and all that had taken place. And when they had assembled the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell no people. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. The Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we have a good news and a great commission in the same passage. Lord, we rejoice that you're alive. As we celebrate the resurrection, will you please inspire us through the Holy Spirit to take this message beyond the four walls of this church? Today, let this be a significant day of God's calling each member of this church to go and proclaim this good news. Holy Spirit, will you please take complete control? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the context is, we have seen the king has come. That was the grand opening of Matthew. The Matthew's gospel clarifies that Jesus is the Son of God, but yet he is a king. And in the past weeks, we have seen the king's trial by choice and the king's suffering and crucifixion. It was a sobering experience, but we knew what happened. As a church, we were meditating. Without the cross, we understood there is no gospel. And today, we are going to celebrate the King's victorious resurrection. The climax. The title for today's sermon is Good News, the King has risen. Good news, the King has risen. I don't know about you, we have a tradition in India, whenever we go through this passage, we said, somebody standing here will say, He is risen. And then the congregation will respond back, He is risen indeed. Can you do that? It's not an Easter, but we can do that. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. Thank you. Do you remember this gadget? And probably, if you remember this, you are as old as me. And for those who don't know what it is, especially my kids, we used to call this as a 2-in-1 tape recorder. And we have only one output that is called audio. You can't see anything, you can't feel anything, but you can just hear. Do you know about this? If you don't know much about this, then probably again you are my age. This is called virtual reality. The kids can explain. Some of the kids are using it almost on a daily basis. And as parents, we are faithfully praying that, Lord, wean them out of this. Here the difference is, they get the audio, they get the video, and they also can feel it using some gadgets. You can see that? Audio, video, and kinesthetic sense are being engaged. They have two different experiences, which we can also see it in this passage. Let's dive into the passage. The first key point is good news proclaimed in an audio form. Let me read that for you. But the angel said to the woman, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen. That's the good news that was proclaimed to Mary and Mary, fearless, faithful woman who stayed in Calvary a couple of days back, late in the night, when the 11 disciples fled from that site. You know the story. The last to leave in Calvary, and they were the first to enter the tomb. They got this good news. They were audibly hearing this message. Good news. He has risen. You can see their response. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. You have this experience sometimes. You're happy and you're afraid. I got that when I got my first job. I was happy at the same time. Oh my God, I need to go and work. And they were directed in the same way to do something. Go quickly. Tell his disciples. They have a job in hand. They're absolutely happy, but they are fearful at the same time. They also got this message. He has risen. Come and see. That was the good news. The second part is the Great Commission. Good to great. That is, go and proclaim. Come and see. He's risen. Go and proclaim. That's the Great Commission. That's the second part. I want to share. Yes, we celebrate. We like this amazing Christian festival called Easter. And some chocolates and a lot of fun. And we say many things. But I want to clarify some of the significance of this resurrection. And we may not be able to read all the verses, but I'm giving it to you for the reference. The significance of resurrection. Number one, it proves that Jesus is the Son of God. It proves. The empty tomb, it's not just a history. It proves that Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 10 verse 17 says, "For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." When I came to this pulpit and I can give it to my daughter, okay, I lay down my mobile phone, I'll come back and take it again. But nobody can make this statement except the Son of God. We will not see all the words, but it verifies the truth of Scripture. The Scripture that you carry, it verifies the truth. Therefore, the resurrection of Christ is absolutely significant. It assures our future resurrection. You might say that's a historical event. We all can celebrate, have that egg-shaped chocolate and have that Easter bunny, whatnot. How is it relevant for me? Because it assures our future resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. We are going to be with him. That's an assurance that we have. It is relevant for everyone sitting here, for those who believe. Fourthly, it gives power for Christian living today. It's not just about the future, but it is going to give you Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. It gives power, the resurrection of Christ. It is the one that is giving you the power. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives. Often we go off track. In our life, as we speak, in a day we go off track in our thoughts. Remember, he is alive. He is risen. He is interceding for you and me. That is giving us the power to live as a Christian. And lastly, it assures our future inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. That inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You don't have to update. You don't have to upgrade. That inheritance is going to be imperishable. Many of us have phones we need to upgrade or update often. But this inheritance is something significant. Therefore, it is a significant event that has happened. The first insight from the first section is resurrection of Christ gives power for Christian living today and assures an everlasting inheritance tomorrow. Resurrection of Christ gives power for Christian living today and assures an everlasting inheritance tomorrow. It's a very simplified version of what we have seen so far. The second one is we are moving away from the tape recorder. They heard the audio message, but now they are witnessing. Look at this. Verse 9. "And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.'" Audio again. "And they came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him." They are experiencing and witnessing Christ in a more tangible way. And Jesus was talking to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. Go to Galilee and there they will see me as well." So the experience is more tangible here. So again, Mary and Mary came up, took hold of his feet. If they don't see, they can't hold the feet. And it is remarkable, Matthew is sharing this details, because sometimes somebody could say, are you sure? Did you see Jesus? Did you see the feet? You know, somebody might twist the story and say, oh, probably that's a ghost. And if you read Matthew, no, they were holding his feet tangibly. Christ was there bodily. Audio, video, kinesthetic. You might be wondering, how is it relevant for us? We are just hearing every week that audio message. How is it relevant? I would like to give a glimpse of that in a practical sense, because I often say the intellectual understanding of this passage is nothing compared to one practical application. You might be mastering in all these context, text, but at the end of the day, if you don't act, it's of no use. It's a piece of knowledge in your CPU, right? So I want to give a small illustration to explain this. Today, can we experience Christ tangibly? They were able to touch the resurrected body. Can we have similar experience? Yes. When you are connected with the body of Christ. And I love hanging out with God's people. And specifically for food, if it is. And as we talk to them and we can see the resemblance of Christ. It is important to hear the audible message. It is important to consume the word of God. We need to be word-saturated believers. But you can see those word in action in his body. And years back when I was having a lunch with my pastor, and that's how we meet, we used to have that one-to-one conversations. And not necessarily every time it is only the Bible study, but we generally pray, read some scripture, and share life events. And when you see the life choices and life experience, you can experience the glimpse of Christ. And on that particular incident, and I was checking in with him, what's happening, Pastor? And he said, like, oh, everything is going well. By the way, Solomon, I need to tell you this. Things are moving fast. I and my wife, we decided to adopt a girl child. We might get the baby in a week's time. I was curious, because in India, if you want to legally move this way, it will take years, even for an Indian citizen. This pastor came from Canada. His wife is an American. How did you manage to navigate this? And he said that, okay, I'm going to adopt a girl baby with some inability. It was shocking. He has got three children who are doing very well. And you are planning to adopt a fourth one. That is okay. But why do you want to have a child with inability? I asked him. And he said that it is an excellent opportunity. It's a need, firstly. They don't get a roof. They are ignored by the society. No one is there to take care of them. So there is a fast-track process for children with inability. I had a lot of questions, but why are you doing it? Your plates are full. You have many things. And it is a choice made by us, Solomon, prayerfully, that we need this child, and that child will give us an opportunity to serve and show Christ at home. I want my children to grow in that setting so that they can serve and get matured in Christ. I was holding the burger and my tears together at the same time. My heart was burning. I don't know if you understand the weight of this, because this happened. And you know what I saw? Christ in him. Hang out. with the body. Get connected to the body. Please don't shoot out today. There's a fellowship. Just you have that rubbing effect. The recent time is yesterday. I had a couple of small group connected to the church. And I saw a glimpse of Christ. And no one here is absolutely like Christ, of course. The Bible says, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless. Who's blameless? Christ is blameless. He will do that the time of glorification. But you can see the glimpse of Christ in his body. They were able to touch and feel Jesus. Are you able to do so when you're connected to this church? A credible way to witness Christ is to get connected to his body. They were literally connected to his physical body in that sense, and this is the body of Christ. We're going to talk about an application in a detailed way. It's not a topical study, so we're going a little fast on this. A credible way to witness Christ is to get connected to his body. You can ask question, how am I experiencing Christ? You can see Christ amongst these brothers and sisters. You might say, Solomon, but I see the other way. If you come closer, you can see both. There are so many Christ-unlike areas. There are so many Christ-like areas. Get inspired when you see the Christ-like choices that they make, just like I said. And when you see something which is Christ-unlike, take the burden and pray for them so that they can become more like Christ. Either way, get connected to his body to tangibly experience Christ in 21st century. Let's move on. Good news suppressed. Good news proclaimed. Good news witnessed. And now good news suppressed. Verse 11. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priest all that had taken place. They told them the truth. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. Remember, these are the people who said, no, Judas' money is the blood money. Right? The same guys are now working in a very different principle. Let's take out the money. Suppress the truth. And they said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. When you're asleep, how will you know who stole the body? Twisting the truth. The priests and the elders suppressed the truth by twisting it. You see that happening even today. When you proclaim the gospel, when you share this good news, there is always an intentional effort by the enemy organized gang. They might manifest in different ways in different settings. They want to suppress this truth because it has absolute significance. We saw the significance of it. Let's move further. Good news entrusted. That's the last part. Good news proclaimed. Good news witnessed. Good news entrusted. This is something, you have something valuable and you go and trust someone and you give it to them and tell them something. Take care of it. Handle it with care. Will you please hand this over to my son there? Good news entrusted. We call that as the Great Commission. Please remember, yes, he is the king, but he comes with a position of relationship. Verse 10, he used the expression, tell my brothers. It is the angel who said, tell my disciples, but Jesus said, tell my brothers. Amazing. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 defined who are his brothers. He said, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. But you might say, Jesus, don't you understand? Someone betrayed you. And one denied you thrice. And the rest of them is not in the scene. That's why I'm using the expression entrusted. And please don't consider this as a transactional command. Yes, it is a commission, but Jesus is coming with a relationship angle. Tell my brother. You will not send, you. If you want to tell something to your brother, you will not send a formal email, sign it, and say that this is my order, can you come tomorrow for breakfast? No, we don't do that. Jesus is coming with that relationship. And therefore, we should not take this as a legalistic one. Okay, God has commanded, let me do a checklist. Okay, today I proclaim the gospel. No. This is in response to the love that he demonstrated on the cross. We meditated on that last couple of weeks. If you do anything in this world in response to what Christ accomplished for you on the cross, that's a sustainable response. And the second one is another significant fact that I want to share is all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The ultimate authority. You remember, he's the king. He defeated sin and death. In that position, he's saying, all authority, listen, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Sometimes we have a dilemma. People ask me in your company, do you have the policy that you can proclaim the good news? I haven't come across a company that says, okay, in this company you can proclaim the good news. Redemption always had the risk. We were talking about this in last night in the community group. Rebuff, get connected to the community group if you're not. And we were talking about this and we were saying that, okay, how should we do it? We should do it wisely, yes. But at the same time, there is a risk. There is a risk always. You remember Esther. To redeem God's people, she had to violate a protocol, the law of the land. The law says if she goes at that particular time, she could be killed. Not she could be, she will be, she should be killed. That's what the law says. She went. But she did something special. God's people, fast. I'm going to do something risky. That's common even today. It's not a walk in the park to take the gospel, to share the good news. You have a risk. You need to agree. In a risk-free setting, if you consider the Great Commission, probably you need to wait. It may happen, may not happen. I don't know. Okay, let's come to the core point. First, we saw good news, come and see. Now, we are seeing a great commission, go and make disciples. The core phrase is make disciples. Three things we have seen so far. I'm just recapitulating so that you consider these labels for this passage. Good news proclaimed. Good news witnessed. Good news entrusted. I know it's not a topical study, but I just want to draw out some application for all of us here, because today the Spirit of God through this scripture, he's calling you to make disciples. There could be a different policy in your organization, But there is a need. There's absolutely some need. Several years ago, and as I was just praying in my workplace for the past almost 20 years in a profession working for different organizations, in one organization, the Lord was saying to me, and there was a weight in my heart that who will proclaim the good news to your colleagues? I couldn't respond. My pastor, no, he won't come to my office. Probably they might just see some Christian TV and they have a very different gospel often. Who will proclaim the pristine gospel to them? And I was dodging that particular question. And after some time, the Lord clearly clarified, okay, there is a need, my friend. So with all the risk, prayerfully, I entered with a New Testament. I might have shared this testimony many times to some of you. I went into my boss cabin because I had burden for his soul. Trembling inside, smiling outside, and I gave that New Testament to him. He asked me, without smiling, what is this? I said, it's New Testament, it's a portion of Bible. And he stood up and he said, this is something that I need in my life. And I almost heard a voice, it could be a self-talk. Just because of a dumb Christian like you, the gospel is not proclaimed in your office. And God has been working. I said, I'm not qualified. I'm not ready. The disciples are also not ready. We don't even know. We need to search them. Where are they? They're not in the scene. One person betrayed and killed himself. Another person denied him. But the gospel was entrusted to the weaker vessels like us. Let's see this closely, because I believe through this word, God is calling you to make disciples, all included. You could be a 5-year-old little child, or you could be a 70-year-old matured man or woman. God is calling you to make disciples. Is this applicable for me? Is this only for that? Those who are conducting Bible study and those who volunteer in the church. No, it's for all of us. Let us read this carefully. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What we need to do? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. If you superficially go through it, you might misinterpret this as teaching them all that I have commanded you. No, that's not the text. You need to understand this way. Teaching them in such a way so that they observe all that God has commanded us out of love. He's not a commander. He's a father. So you need to teach in a way. I was always remembering the physics practical class, and he would give a theoretical lesson, my teacher, and they would take us all to a laboratory and practically demonstrate. So you need to teach them in a way they observe all that I have commanded you. How is it possible? I'm not going to get into the depth of it. And if you're interested, you can approach us. We can talk more about it. We can organize sessions more on this topic. Making disciples, very simply, in a high level, it has got two areas. One is proclaim the gospel. Second one is witness Christ. Jesus said these two. If you see Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he used an expression, proclaim the gospel. You know, this is the first time I'm using all these Greek. Normally, I don't complicate things. But I was insisted because there is a lot of statement that is going on in WhatsApp. You know, WhatsApp, there are inspiring messages sometimes. Sounds super spiritual, but not scriptural. One such statement is, Preach the gospel, use word occasionally. In Mark 16:15, if you go home and read, go and proclaim. The word proclaim means kereso. That means announce as a herald. This is a significant part of making disciples. Sometimes we ignore that part and say that I'm going to just live the gospel. You need to. You are encouraged to. We are going to talk about that. But you need to also open the mouth. Who are these heralds? In those days, the kings would send these heralds to go and share certain news. Good news, bad news, instruction. The heralds are supposed to open up their mouth and tell that. They can't do dumb charades. ICRMK Kariso. Go and proclaim. You need to orally. What should I tell? That Christ died for your sin in accordance with the scripture. That he was buried. On the third day he rose in accordance with the scripture. That is the gospel. That is the good news. You need to tell them at some stage. We don't have time how. If you're interested, you can approach elders. And we can organize sessions. We have done that in ICRMK 5 years back. To proclaim. Is it possible even today? Yes. Am I qualified? He will qualify. Just sign up. Just sign up today. Just say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm committed. He will use you in his time. When I first signed up, I was an academic failure. Had no qualification on the text. I just said, Lord, I'm willing. He sent someone to my home. And he enabled me to proclaim the gospel. The second one and the last one, we are going to close this. Witness Christ. You remember in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Lord said that you will be my witness. We often think that witness is a verb. In the legal setting, witness is, okay, in the court, they ask you to share the fact. Okay, I saw that person running with a knife. That's a fact. He came towards me and pushed me and he was chasing another person. That is a fact. Then if you continue, I believe, in my opinion, he would have killed the other person. That's not a fact. That's your story. So the witness is something like what you see here and experienced, you are telling in the court. But here, there are 29 times the word witness is being used, both as noun and as a verb. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it is pronounced as a noun. I don't know how to pronounce it properly. I acknowledge, though I tie, my terror. 77 times. You will be the witness, which means you show Christ. You need to proclaim on one side, the other side, you need to demonstrate that. In a discipler's itinerary, do you have other members? And this is from Jonathan Lehman in his book. He says that I don't have time. And you can read this and I can send this across to you. Intentionally connect with the body. Intentionally connect with someone who don't know Christ. Why? To proclaim the gospel, to witness Christ. That's how you can make disciples. A very high level. I want to close with a real incident that happened in our church. In the year 2007, my senior pastor was there in the church where we used to worship in Delhi. There was a young boy who was 23 years old. And his father passed away in a car accident lot of dead at home. The eldest of the four siblings, four, I think. And he had to take care of the whole family. The weight was on him. He was in the office laboring and working, and he was so depressed. A woman from our church called this young boy, "Joy, there's a community group happening in our home. Why don't you come over?" "Okay, let me come." This young boy walked in and gospel was proclaimed. Before that, as per the record, and I spoke to them, both of them I know, he never knew the gospel. Gospel was proclaimed and the Lord graciously opened his eyes. And the pastor, in the next several months, spent a lot of time. He told that young boy, "Why don't you come and stay with me?" "Yes, I want to stay with you, pastor. I want to see you." Every day he was experiencing Christ. He was witnessing Christ in a different way. Gospel was proclaimed. He was seeing Christ in a tangible way by getting connected to the church. Guess what? In 2012, he became Pastor Joy. Now he has planted two churches. One school for underprivileged children. And one theological seminary in Hindi. Do you see that? When you tangibly experience Christ, witness Christ, that is the rub off. And this pastor knows that, and by the way, as per the records, he has written this for Cornerstone University as a case study. Pastor Arvind has written this. I can give that case if you want. He said that he spent thousands of hours with the young little boy, Joy. High quality, intentional connection with a member of the church. Pastor Joy was never a Pastor Joy. He equipped himself later and he became Pastor Joy in 2012. In his church, every year there are about 40 baptisms that is happening. Glory to God. In a dry belt. And he took another young boy and he also replicated the model. And he spent thousands of hours with that little boy and he became Pastor Sono. In the year 2021, as a church, we prayed on him. And he said, "I'm not going to plant church in the city. I'm going to go to a tougher location, deeper location, and I'm going to plant a church." That he's, as we speak, planting a church. And I'm sure he has got a young boy as well. None of the law can prevent this. Nobody can say that, "Why are you hanging out with another person?" This is called discipleship in action. I want to close with this insight. Disciples of Christ make disciples for Christ. They're not spectators. They're not passengers. They don't just come for coffee only. They come and they carry that good news because good news is entrusted on them. They faithfully proclaim and also witness Christ. I don't know anything. Sounds interesting. It's very clear. God has called me to make disciples. I'm willing if you sign up today in your prayer. He says, that's the last word. I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, there are about 100 people here. You shared the good news. Come and see. And through the relationship that you have with us, you've also given a great commission. Go and proclaim. Lord, will you please inspire everyone to sign up for Carrizo, ICRMK, every member, everyone who's sitting here, let them say that I'm signing up for Carrizo. I'm willing to proclaim the gospel. I'm also signing up for my Tyro. I'm going to witness Christ in my workplace. Lord, will you please inspire today, I pray, will you please call this church to share this good news to the rest of the world and witness this good news to the rest of the world. Holy Spirit, we can't do it. It's not a formula. Salvation is an act of God. Will you please inspire us to take the first step of committing us to proclaim this good news? In Jesus' name, we pray.